So alhamdulillah for our next speaker, I would like to call my colleague who is also a graduate of the Islamic Dawah Academy, and right now he's currently rendering the khidmah of deen in the Good Maze area of London, and he's also responsible in one of the maktabs in the Good Maze area, Maulana Farhan Sahib. I kindly request him to come forward and share with us the teachings of the Quran and Hadith.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان صدق الله العظيم وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو لم تذنبوا لذهب الله بكم ولجاء بقوم يذنبون فيستغفرون الله تعالى فيغفر لهم رواه مسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته My most honorable and respected brothers in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear respected friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us in the glorious Quran that the corruption and the destruction and us as the Muslim Ummah, the downfall that we see, there are many, many outward reasons for this downfall. There's many, many outward reasons for this corruption as well. But in the glorious Quran, he makes mention of one of the hidden reasons. One of those reasons which you and I may not really see in the apparent, or you and I may not really realize as a reason for why this corruption and destruction is taking place on earth. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ That this corruption has spread on the earth and in the oceans, on the earth and in the water, due to the bad and the evil actions of mankind. My dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that every time we sin, then we are oppressing ourselves on an individual level, and we are oppressing ourselves on a collective level by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time we sin, my dear friends, a black dot appears on our heart. And for every sin, this heart is getting darker and darker and darker. And the more we sin, we are distancing ourselves more and more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time we sin, my dear friends, no matter how insignificant it may feel for you and I, but every time we sin, we are giving da'wah, and we are inviting the wrath and the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look into our lives, my dear friends, I will look into mine, you look into yours. There are some of us who sin, and na'udhu billah, we have become so behaya, we have become so immodest, we have lost our shame to such a level that we openly sin in front of everybody. Some of us. We openly sin without any kind of fear that what will the non-Muslims think about me? They know that I am a Muslim. When I sin like this, when I conduct myself like this, when I behave like this, what will my non-Muslim brothers, what will they feel about me? What will they think about me? They have no fear that what will my friends think and feel about me. They have become so behaya, so immodest, that they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They carry out acts of immodesty, even in front of their imams, in front of their teachers, in front of their parents, and they have no fear whilst doing this. Whether it's in the schools, colleges, or universities, or any other public place, whether it's on the streets, whether it's in the form of consuming alcohol or any other kind of intoxicants, or whether it's intermingling and associating ourselves so openly with the opposite sex, with the opposite gender, we have no fear whilst we do this. And there are some of us who from the apparent we look very pious. We have beards, We wear the sunnah garment, which we all should endeavor to do. And in front of everybody else, we act as if we are very, very pious people. But behind the scenes, when nobody is there to look at us, then we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, it's very easy to violate the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of the gadgets and the phones that we have. Before, if somebody wanted to sin, he would have to leave the house, he would have to go into the environment of sin. But unfortunately now, many of the sins we commit, the environment of sin lies in our pockets. The environment of sin lies beneath our blankets when we go to sleep. The environment of sin is in our bedrooms when we are upstairs. When everybody else in the house is thinking he or she is doing a homework. When everybody else in the house is thinking that he is resting. But there we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many youngsters from the outside, they look very, very pious. But they have their haram relationship with those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made it permissible for us to keep a relationship with. My dear friends, the question is, what will prevent, what will stop this immodest person from sinning in front of everybody else? He has no fear of his friends. He has no fear of his parents. He has no fear of his imams and his teachers. The question is that this young person who's saying that I am so addicted to this sin, I can't get out of this sin anymore, or I'm so much in love with so and so, I can't get out of this relationship anymore, or we've got somebody saying that I know my transactions are haram, but all my life I have been transacting like this, and if I don't carry out this transaction, then how will I be able to feed myself? How will I be able to look after my family? What will stop this person from sinning? My dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His great mercy, He has put this element inside the hearts of the believers. And it's our responsibility to progress this quality and to increase this quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in our hearts. What is this quality, my dear friends? The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala wanted to, my dear friends, then the dangers of the qabr. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, then the severe nature of the day of judgment, the severe nature of the fire of Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have left all of this as a big surprise for you and I. That when our eyes close, then we will see for ourselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us so much, and Allah ta'ala wants goodness for every single one of us, my dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us the power and the might that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in this world whilst we are alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us how difficult the time of death will be for us, or can be for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us how difficult the day of judgment will be, how difficult and how severe and how dangerous the fire of Jahannam will be, so that you and I can fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not such that we fear Allah like we fear a lion. That we're scared that this lion will harm us. So as soon as we see the lion, we run. The more closer this lion gets to us, the more we try to further ourselves from this lion or this tiger or this harmful animal. This is not the fear that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear that we should have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, is such that when a person, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grows in his heart, then he goes more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more this taqwa and the more this fear increases, then he will move more closer and connect himself even more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear friends, in the glorious Quran, through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn these different stages and these different phases which I have just mentioned to you. And we learn how severe these stages can be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran, He describes to you and I that nations in the past, previously, when they used to sin and they were told not to sin, they didn't change their ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us how Allah ta'ala took these people to punishment. فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ That each of these nations we took to punishment due to their sins. Due to their sins, we took these nations to punishment. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا. There were some of these nations that we sent a very, very strong wind to this nation, and it destroyed the whole nation. And there were some of them, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الصَّيْحَةُ. There were some of them that we did not need to send anything. It was only one loud cry and one loud scream. It was enough to finish off this nation. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And there were some of those people, when they were disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala caused the earth to split open and the earth swallowed these people inside them. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. And there were some of those nations that when they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused these people to drown in the oceans. فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah ta'ala says that we have not done any wrong to these people by giving them the punishment we have given them. We have not oppressed these people, rather by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people have ended up oppressing themselves. My dear friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once when he heard that my companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, my sahaba, have become a bit relaxed. And they are enjoying themselves so much that they have forgotten about the akhirah. Right now they are not conscious of the akhirah. When this news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered his companions and he gave a khutbah to them. He gave a bayan to them. And from this he said to them that, O my companions, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. O my companions, I have been to Mi'raj. O my companions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed me what will happen at the time of death, what will happen inside the qabr, what will happen tomorrow on the day of judgment, how the pul sirat will be, how the reckoning will be, how the fire of Jahannam will be. O my companions, if you knew what I knew, لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, you would most definitely laugh very less, and you would cry much more. You would laugh very less, and you would cry much more. The Quran describing to us the situation and the condition and the environment of the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear your Lord. إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. That the tremble on the Day of Judgment is going to be a very, very big thing. It's going to be a very, very big thing. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَذَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Allah Ta'ala says that this day will be so severe. Imagine the love that the mother has for her child. Imagine the love the mother has for her child, the compassion the mother has for that child, the feeling that the mother has for her child. And when that mother is breastfeeding her child, she looks at this child with so much love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, on that day the mother will lose her feelings as well. And that mother who is breastfeeding her child, she will forget her child. And that mother who has got her child inside of her womb, she will abort that child. That child will drop out. I know people, you will see people in such a condition, you will think everybody is drunk. But Allah ta'ala says nobody will be drunk on that day. The fact is that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be extremely severe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to you and I, my dear friends, that tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, when we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will sweat so much, we will sweat so much, we will sweat so much, that our sweat will go into the ground. On the Day of Judgment, it will go into the ground. 70 yards will be drowned in our own sweat. 70 yards will be drowned in our own sweat. And the sweat will cover us like the reins of the animal, like the reins of the horse, cover the mouth of that horse, same way our sweat will cover some of us up till our faces. My dear friends, whilst describing the fire of Jahannam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to us, that person who will get the least amount of punishment tomorrow in the day of judgment, tomorrow in the fire of Jahannam, the least amount of punishment. He says, إِنَّ أَهْوَنَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَرَجُلٌ يُوضَعُ فِي أَخْمَسِ قَدَمَيْهِ جَمْرَتَانْ يَغْلِي مِنْهُمَا دِمَاغُهُ. He says that on tomorrow in the fire of Jahannam, the person to get the least amount of punishment will be him who between his legs there will be two pieces of coal. two pieces of coal from the fire of Jahannam, and these two pieces will be so hot for him, so warm for him, that because of these two pieces underneath the sole of his feet, his brain will start to boil. His brain will start to boil. And after that punishment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person will think that today in Jahannam, nobody has got a more severe punishment than me. But he is the one who has got the least amount of punishment. He is the one who has got the least amount of punishment. My dear friends, unfortunately, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left our lives. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is void from our hearts. Our hearts are empty of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we sin, we never fear the outcome of our sin, or the result of our sin, or we forget the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send down. We are sinning day and night, and there is no thought towards the punishment and the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. That do the people of the city feel, when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do they feel that they can sleep at ease at night time and the punishment of Allah ta'ala cannot come to them? Do they feel that whilst they are in amusement during the day, they can sin and they can violate the rights of Allah, and they feel that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not come unto them? My dear friends, we do not fear that due to my bad actions, what can be the consequence of my bad actions tomorrow? Today I am sinning, tomorrow how can this sin affect me? Tomorrow due to my sins, how can this affect my children? Today I am spoiling the life of another child, tomorrow somebody will come and spoil the life of my child as well. Today I am doing something wrong with somebody else's daughter, with somebody else's sister. Today, tomorrow somebody can do this to my daughter and my sister as well. Today, I am stealing from somebody else. Tomorrow when I will be in need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take this wealth away from me as well. We don't fear the consequences, my dear friends. And what does shaitan say to us? That you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. Look at the people in your masjid. The most pious of people. They do not sin. They do not watch films. They do not listen to music. All the sins that you can think of. They are not doing these sins, and they are living a so-called dry life. What are they really gaining, and what are they missing out on? What are they really gaining? You're living a normal life, they're living a normal life as well. If this sin was something so severe, this is what shaitan puts in our minds. If this sin was something so severe, then by now, surely if he is in good health, then you should have been ill by now. If he's got a 4-bedroom house, then you should have been living in a flat by now. Allah Ta'ala would have punished you somehow. Allah Ta'ala would have punished you somehow. He's got 4 children, you've got 4 children as well. He's living a life like this, you're living a life like this as well. So he's not really gaining anything by sinning, and you have not lost, by refraining from sin, and you have not lost anything by sinning. This is what shaitan puts in our minds. A very, very serious hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to us why you and I should not sit around in trust like this, my dear friends. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives respite to the sinner. When he sins, Allah ta'ala says, we'll let him off for now. We won't punish him for now. Let's see, maybe he'll turn back to me. When he sins, Allah ta'ala will say, let's see, maybe tomorrow he will wake up and come to his senses. Maybe tomorrow he will wake up from this slumber. He won't carry on sinning like this. Allah ta'ala gives him respite. And then Allah ta'ala gives him so much respite that Allah says that, let's see, where will he set his limit for himself? Day and night he is sinning, this person has no limits. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains that sometimes Allah ta'ala gives respite to a person. Let's understand this with an example. There are 3-4 people, they go around and they do robberies. And the police are well aware of these robbers. The police are well aware of these robbers. They have done the first robbery, the police know everything. They have done the second robbery, the police know everything. But the police will not go and stop these people, and they will not arrest these people now. The police will say that let them do something so big that we can give them such a punishment that they will regret it now. Because otherwise, because of these small robberies, we won't be able to give them a punishment that they'll feel remorse and they leave what they are doing. They leave the crime that they are doing. So let them carry on, and we will punish them in such a way that then they will never ever go back towards that crime again. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't take advantage if you are violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing is happening to you. Don't feel at ease. Don't take advantage, because فَإِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to punish this person, then Allah is not going to let this person go. My dear friends, if it was so easy as you and I feel, that yes, let's carry on sinning, and because we are Muslims, then we're going to go into Jannah tomorrow anyway. And our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the leader of all the people from Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam till the last person to come on this earth. Jannah is haram on any of a prophet to enter inside until our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not enter into Jannah. But Aisha radiallahu anha says, sometimes during the night, just when the winds would move a bit fast, when the winds would move a bit faster than normal, the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to change. He would get up from his place, he would sit back down again. He would move around in the room like somebody who is extremely frustrated. He would come up, go out of the room, he would enter inside, go out of the room, coming in, enter inside. Why would he do this? Do this. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ خَوْفًا مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ Because he used to do all of this out of fear that maybe this is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear friends, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhum, that even from our youngsters, those who do commit all sorts of sins, they admire Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. They want to be like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu because of his great character, because of the achievements of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He had heard this promise from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Umaru fil Jannah. Umar has got his guaranteed ticket to Jannah. Umar has got his space to Jannah. And he knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought so high of him that he said that if there was to be a prophet after me, if after me there was to be a prophet, then it would be Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. But the door of prophethood has now closed. This is how great Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was. But he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, my dear friends, that he used to say that if tomorrow on the day of judgment an announcement is made that every single person will enter into paradise, every single person will enter into paradise except for one person. He says, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that one person will be Umar ibn al-Khattab. My dear friends, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, once he was traveling somewhere and he comes across a shepherd. He comes across a shepherd and he's got many, many sheep with him. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah says to him that, why don't you sell me one of your sheep? Why don't you sell me one of your sheep? And in there is my benefit and is your benefit as well. If you sell me just one sheep, it's very easy for you. You will make some money. And to your master or to the owner, you can say to him that I was out and I was trying my hardest, but the fox came and attacked one of your animals, so I've come back with one less. So you can make a bit of money, and you've got an excuse as well, and I'll be able to benefit from the sheep as well. So this person, he looked towards Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. He was a shepherd, my dear friends. He was a shepherd. He was not no imam. He was not no great alim. He was not somebody who spent a lot of time in the house of Allah, who spent a lot of time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a shepherd. And he said to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, that fine, if my owner or if the owner of these animals, if my employer, he believes the excuse that I put in front of him, then fa'ayna Allah. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If I do this crime today, how will I be able to get away with it tomorrow in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will I be able to get away with it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My dear friends, we need to wake up from the slumber that we are in. We need to understand that these ahadith, this Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for mine and your guidance, my dear friends, na'udhu billah, I don't want to say it, but just to make you understand, these are not no fairy tales. These are not no fairy tales that yes, these are people of the past, or yes, our ahadith are like this, the Quran does say this, but everything will be okay tomorrow on the day of judgment. My dear friends, it's not as easy as we think. First of all, we need to ask ourselves that regardless if anybody else is looking, who am I disobeying? Who am I disobeying? I am disobeying my Lord, that Allah that every single second, every single split second of my life, since the time I was produced in my mother's womb till now, every single split second of my life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been helping me. Everything I have got today, every positive thing around me is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I disobey this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My dear friends, have we become so fearful that we're not worried what will happen in our qabr. Maulana Yusuf Lujanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says sometimes I sit in my room and I've got a light in my room as well, and it's a big room, and I think to myself sometimes that the light is here, the room is nice and big as well, I've got a bed over here as well, but what if somebody doesn't realize that Hazrat is inside the room and he locks the room? How will I be able to get out of this room? And he says, just through this thought, I get so frustrated and I feel so distressed just by thinking about this. Then I think to myself that tomorrow when I'm 7 feet underneath the ground and I'm in my qabr and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets his punishment on me, then what will be my condition tomorrow in that grave? What will be my condition tomorrow when I stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My dear friends, a very great incident to take heed from. There was a young boy and he was a student, he was quite poor and he was sleeping. He used to sleep in the masjid. He was the caretaker of the masjid. And what happened at that time, there were riots going on outside. And before this riot started, a young girl from a very honorable and a very rich family, this young girl left the house for some necessity. And as she was outside, these riots started. And there was no way for this girl to get back home. So she sees the masjid and she thinks that this is the safest place I can think of right now. So she goes and she takes refuge in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This young boy, as he's about to lock up the masjid, he sees this young girl. And he says, what are you doing here? She explains what has happened. And he says that, but I'm sorry, you won't be able to stay over here. She insists. And she says that this masjid, this is my only hope of safety. So this young boy says, no problem, you can stay over here. But before Fajr time, before we open up the masjid and the congregation come for Fajr, you will have to leave the masjid. Now this young girl, because of what was happening outside, she couldn't get to sleep. And when she would look back at this young boy sitting in the other corner of the masjid, and he was there doing his study, she saw something very, very strange. She saw something very, very strange. She saw that as this young boy is studying, every now and then, the candle that he has in front of him, he puts his finger into this candle. He puts his finger into the candle. Now, it's the time of Fajr, the people are coming, the young boy says, sorry, but you'll have to leave now. This young girl says that, fine, I will leave, but tell me, what was this strange thing you were doing? Why did you keep putting your finger into the candle? This young boy says, he did not want to reveal his good deed. He says that, don't worry about it, you need to go because everybody's going to come very soon. She insisted. She said, no, until you don't tell me, I'm not going to leave the masjid. This person got scared. And what will the people think when they come? Let me just quickly explain to her. So he explained to her. He said, look, I am young. I am young. And I've got desire inside of me, and obviously because I am young, and although I am studying, shaitan is whispering into my mind that look at that young girl over there. Why don't you fulfill your desire with this young girl? Leave aside fulfilling the desire. Why don't you just look towards this young girl? He says, every time the thought came to my mind, then I would have to put my finger into that candle to remind myself that today if you commit this sin, tomorrow you will have to burn even worse than this tomorrow in the fire of Jahannam. They would remind themselves like this, my dear friends. So, the conclusion of today's talk is, my dear friends, that we need to inculcate and bring in our hearts the khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we do this? Think of the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing. Contemplate about your death. Contemplate tomorrow what will happen on the day of judgment. Our shaykh, he gives a very, very good example. He says that this nafs is like a reckless car driving recklessly on the motorway. It's like a car driving recklessly on the motorway. This is our nafs. So much we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says the only thing that will slow this car down when he realizes that the speed camera is coming up. So he says, us, we are driving recklessly as well. But when we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, then this should help us control ourselves. And this should help us put a stop to the reckless lives we are living. My dear friends, I will conclude by explaining that our ulama say to us that our iman should be between two conditions. Between iman, between khawf and between raja. Between the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time we should have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at young age, the ulama explain that when one is in his vigorous youth, when one has all sorts of doors of sins open to him, then at that time his fear should be more, his fear, the percentage should be higher than the percentage of his hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that this fear can help him stop disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in the hadith that I mentioned in the khutbah, that O people, Don't ever stop asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you sin and you stop asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will get rid of you. Allah will bring another nation. Allah will wait for these people to sin. Then Allah will want these people to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just so Allah ta'ala can forgive these people. That's how much Allah ta'ala loves forgiving His bondsmen. We end by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He first of all gives me and everybody is listening the tawfiq to inculcate this great quality in our lives. My dear friends, spend time in the company of pious people. There are many, many pious people out there that just by looking at them, my dear friends, we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase in our hearts. You are so lucky, I cannot explain to you that in a few minutes, inshallah, you will be addressed by our respected Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Durrat Sahib Hafizahullah. My dear friends, let me tell you, just as we hear our elders sometimes, that I remember when Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi came into the room, some of the elders will say, I remember when I saw Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahmatullahi Alayhi, when I saw Mawlana As'ad Madni Rahmatullahi Alayhi, just as they talk about these pious people, tomorrow, I guarantee you, my dear friends, you will reminisce about these moments as well when you had the chance to sit in the likes of mashayikh of this caliber. So Allah Ta'ala has given these mashayikh to us, not so that we praise them, not so that we praise them only, so that we benefit from them, we benefit from their company, and we use their company and their teachings as a means of us bringing a positive change in our lives. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa Sallallahu Ta'ala Ala Khayri Khalki Muhammadu Wa Alihi Wa Sallam.